Welcome back to the Kapower Hour. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey.
And we are the Kapows! So today I thought we should give our parenting tips that we have learned in the past 5 months. We are definitely not experts, but I think like comparing notes with other parents is always super helpful.
Yep.
And this is what worked for us. This is what didn't work for us. Products we love and swear by. Products that we hate and wouldn't buy again. So that's kind of where I thought we'd take it. I've gotten, you know, so many messages from people that are like, your podcast has been so great because my baby was born a month after Quinn or a month before Quinn, or I'm about to have a baby, or I had a baby 5 years ago, and listening to your story and journey as you go has been really helpful. So I think it'll just hopefully be helpful to people who want to have kids, are about to have kids, are having kids right now, or are just want to hear what our experience was like compared to theirs, even if, you know, it happened years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea. And I think both of our personalities are really well suited for this because like I love researching things and finding the best deal and finding the best product. And so,
yeah. We definitely have left, like, no expense was spared. So if there was some sort of product that's highly recommended, we bought it. And we will tell you if we think it's worth it. We've tested a lot of things, a lot of the same thing from so many different brands until we got what worked for us.
Yep.
And that's the other thing about babies. It varies from kid to kid. So what works for us may not work for others, but maybe it could.
And I think the other piece is for the same baby, don't throw something away or don't get, you know, return something, try it again in a few weeks or in a month or whatever. And we've definitely experienced that with some of the things with Quinn where this was her favorite thing for months. And all of a sudden she doesn't want anything to do with it anymore.
Vice versa. Yeah. She hated it and now she loves it.
Yeah. And so we've learned to not return something or get rid of something if she doesn't
keep
like
trying it.
Yeah, exactly. So where do we start?
I think we start where it all began. Well, no, not that far because, you know, I don't want this to get flagged. let's start from the hospital.
Oh, okay.
So literally what we packed, what we used, what we didn't use, and what we would do differently, just in terms of what we brought to the hospital.
What we packed, everything.
Yeah.
What we used, nothing.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm an overpacker. I just am. I knew it was too much, but my anxiety wouldn't let me just bring a couple things. You know, you're walking into a situation where you have never been there before.
And you want to be prepared for every scenario.
Overprepared. So yeah. I brought way too much stuff. What we did bring that might seem like unnecessary that I actually loved was a small cozy blanket. Before I went into labor, that night where I was just kind of, we were waiting for the Foley balloon to do its thing, their blankets are kind of coarse. And so we had brought one of our like really soft throw blankets and it just made me feel like I cuddled up with it with near my face. I loved having that. I brought a face mask to help me sleep that night, like when the nurses were coming in and checking on stuff. That helped me sleep right before going into labor.
Bring your own pillows also helps.
Bring your own pillows. The pillows at the hospital, they can give you 100 of them. So if you don't bring your own pillow, just keep asking for more.
Until you get the equivalent of one pillow.
Right, because they're so thin. Yeah. They're so thin. It's a joke. Bring your own pillow, especially for the dad, because at least in my hospital bed, you know, I'm propped up. The couch that they give the dad or the partner to sleep on, you need a good supportive pillow, or you need like 7 pillows.
Right.
So blanket and pillow seem excessive, but I really liked it. And you just keep it in your car and you go, like Sean went and got it later. You know, it's not like you have to put it in a suitcase.
Bring everything the first time you come into the hospital.
Right.
It's like you most likely have a lot of time to go back to the car and grab whatever you want. Yeah.
Another kind of bulky item, I could take it or leave it, but was a bathrobe. So I had read you should bring a robe because it gets cold. And so I decided to bring a big fluffy fleece robe. And I used it like before anything started to happen when I was able to still walk basically. So before they put the IV in, but I never used it again. And it took up so much space in my suitcase.
Yeah. But all the nurses loved it. So you did get a lot of compliments on it.
Sure.
Which is more important.
That's
obviously.
What you want. Yeah. So maybe if I were going to do it again, I would get a thinner robe.
But equally as cool.
Sure. Fashionable. Pattern is, yeah. Pattern's important.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I tried. I'm such a weirdo. I ordered like 6 different robes to try to bring to the hospital. Because I was like, I want one that's cute. I want one that's cozy. And I don't know why I felt the need to buy a new one.
This is how you know we're qualified to be speaking about this, because we've bought 6 different versions of every single thing and returned the other ones that we didn't like the most.
Yep.
I think as the dad, like just clothes that are going to keep you warm. Like I didn't bring...
Were you cold?
I wasn't like freezing cold, but I wasn't super comfortable. I didn't bring like other than the shirt I was wearing.
You just had an overshirt.
Yeah.
You didn't even really bring a little jacket.
Right. So I probably would have brought another layer to wear.
Yeah.
Just because again, the blankets weren't great either. So, and they keep the rooms pretty cold. So.
Right. One thing I brought, hilarious, absolutely did not use. And I think if you're a first time parent, you don't need this. Maybe if you're a seasoned vet, maybe you do. My hair dryer. I really thought, I didn't know what to expect. I was like, what if I'm there for 3 days? What if I do have time and energy, or like you want to get out of that? I didn't want to, once Quinn was born, I only got up to pee. And even that I like was pretty, I didn't want to get up too much. So I was careful with my water intake because I was afraid of peeing.
But isn't that like a thing where like influencers take their first photo and they look like they're like camera ready somehow after just giving birth a few hours ago?
I don't know how they do it. I think that was my expectation in my brain was that, oh, my hair needs to be washed and dried and I need to put makeup on. I didn't want to do any of that. I only brushed my teeth once in the 2 days we were there.
Yeah.
And even that was like, do I need to do this? Okay, fine. Like my advice would be, if you can't, like if you're scheduling an induction, then you obviously know what day and what time you're going in. So do your hair that day and it will likely stay clean or nice. Makeup is a little tricky. Here's what I would recommend is like get a really good mascara that you love that's waterproof and just do your mascara. I didn't have any foundation on before we went to the hospital. I just had washed my hair that day. I put on mascara and I left that mascara on for 3 days. And so like in... all the photos of Quinn being born, that was day old mascara, but it was just enough that like I didn't look as tired as maybe I was. Yeah. So I brought makeup. I never touched it.
Yeah.
I brought a hair dryer, never touched it. I didn't want to take a shower. It's the last thing I wanted to do.
So much effort.
Oh my God. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I bought one of those really cute labor and delivery gowns that I saw on TikTok. It's pretty cute. They make it so you can still have an epidural placed. It snaps. You can still breastfeed. Like, it is a cute version of a hospital gown.
Did you wear it?
I didn't wear it because I was like, I don't know. I brought it, but I never put it on. And I actually went through like 2 or 3 hospital gowns because there's a lot of stuff that happens.
A lot of fluid.
So I wouldn't recommend. And that thing was like $70.
Did we return it?
No, you can't. So I'm going to give it to Alex. If she wants to try it.
How many of those did you buy?
Just one, I think. Just one. But then I brought like a nightgown. I definitely recommend a nightgown if you want like one of the nights after you give birth, because I still didn't want to put shorts on. I didn't want to put bottoms on with the situation going on downstairs. And so just a short nightgown that had buttons so I could still nurse. I got it on Amazon. So actually any of these products that we've tried and tested and love, I will have them all linked on my Amazon store in the months that they apply or the environments or scenario, whatever, that they might be useful. So
what about like games and entertainment?
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. Cause I had read, hey, bring a Fire Stick or a Roku or something so that you have access to your own.
Because if you're going to be there for a while before you go into labor and you need to be distracted or want to watch a show together, you can like bring a Fire Stick and plug it into the hospital TV sometimes.
So the pro tip is if you bring a Fire Stick or a Roku or something, set it up on your own TV first so that you're logged into all your accounts and everything.
Did you do that?
No. Oh. That's why it was so hard for me to get everything set up is because we were on.
You had one job.
I know. Well, I got the Fire Stick. I was so proud of myself that I remembered to bring it. And then it's like, you have to do the setup and you have to be on different Wi-Fi. Yeah. It was just like a nightmare. So if you're going to do it, which I think, you know, in certain scenarios, if you're stuck at the hospital for 3 days, it definitely makes sense. For us, we were like, oh, we're going to watch like a bunch of episodes of Sopranos. And like, we didn't even finish the first episode.
Yeah.
But if we had been there for, you know, multiple days with no action, we probably would have.
Right.
So we didn't even end up really using the Fire Stick.
But I would bring it again because you just never know.
Yeah, exactly. So
the other pro tip is don't forget it.
Yep.
You leave it plugged into the TV and a lot of people forget it.
Yeah.
And don't expect anyone, any of the staff to know how the TV works or how to get a Fire Stick plugged in. So really just
got to figure it out yourself.
You have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, this isn't our job. We're busy.
But everyone is like, oh, that's really smart.
Yeah.
Because like you're limited to whatever's on the hospital TV.
Yeah.
So
Fire Stick's a good recommendation. What else did we bring? I brought baby socks. She was in a swaddle, a diaper and a swaddle the whole time she was there.
Yeah, nothing, like nothing for baby. You don't need to bring anything for the baby. Hospital provides everything.
Just her outfit to leave the hospital with. And if you wanted a photo, I really thought I was going to do a photo of her in the little bassinet. But I'm telling you, I had no energy for anything. That I got one photo right before we left in her little, in the outfit that she was leaving with. But for the most part, they're just in the diaper nursing and then they're swaddled. So you really don't need outfits for the baby. Outfits for leaving the hospital. Sweatpants was recommended to me because I live in leggings, but like right after giving birth and the giant diaper situation that's going on, you don't want to walk out in mm-hmm. leggings. So sweatpants.
I don't even know if I changed clothes the entire time. I think the other thing too is like snacks. You know, yes. there's cafeterias, there's vending machines, but like if you have your snacks that you like as the person giving birth, you're like not supposed to be eating certain things, but our doula was like, bring snacks. We're going to feed you as much as you need to be fed.
Most staff are like, you know, the labor and delivery nurse, they're like, look, we know that the guidelines are don't eat before giving birth because if you have an emergency C-section, there's all these rules. But women need energy to push a baby out. And the percentage of people who go into an emergency C-section and need to be not just
for anesthesia.
Anesthesia.
Yeah.
So plenty of people have to have an emergency C-section, but a lot of them stay awake for it.
Right.
The percentage of people that they have to put under for it is so, so small.
Right.
It's kind of outdated to say you can't eat. So it's kind of like a wink, wink.
Catering to the lowest common denominator
sure,
there,
just
right?
Just to be safe.
Just to be safe. But it's like, all right, that's a 0.05% chance of happening. 99.5% of people will be fine eating food.
I like ate a protein bar when she left the room and she probably would have turned her head the other way.
Yeah, they didn't care.
So right before I was supposed to start pushing, I was like, give me a protein bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, oh, and, you know, some women who are in labor for 12, 24 hours.
And they're doing that with
just
Gatorade?
On an empty stomach? Like, yeah, like that's insane.
Yeah.
So bring food, eat it.
Don't bring anything stinky though. Our friend.
Terrence.
Our friend literally went and got an egg salad sandwich, didn't he?
No, tuna sandwich.
A tuna sandwich.
And a hard-boiled
and
egg.
And a hard-boiled egg. And he brought that in to eat.
In the delivery room.
While she was going into labor.
Yeah.
Like, don't be an idiot.
Don't be a Terrence.
Don't bring stinky food. Also, don't leave the premises to go get a burrito.
Unless the doctor tells you to, and your doula gives you a really good recommendation for the best breakfast burrito in the area.
But then maybe ask your wife before you do that. Anyway.
Still not over it.
Okay, another tip. Literally take everything the hospital has in the room for the baby or for the mom.
Because you're going to be charged for it, whether you take it or not.
Take it all. I asked for refills of stuff. Some of the postpartum stuff, she refilled it. My nurse like refilled it all up for me. We left with like three bags of hospital stuff. We took all the diapers, all the wipes in the little baby station.
I thought it was pretty cool though. It was the nurse who told us.
Right.
She's like, do you want this? We're like, oh, I don't know. And she's like, you want this. You want everything on this cart. And we're like, oh,
it's gonna work. Yeah, you've already paid for it.
You've already paid for it. So take everything that is there.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I brought that we definitely didn't need, or maybe we did. We brought our core ball because I didn't know how much laboring I was going to have to do. So we brought it, but then it's kind of hilarious. They were like, oh, we have one. Do you want ours? And we'll blow it up for you. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And then they bring it and I'm so tall that the core ball was so low to the ground. I was like, this isn't doing any mm-hmm. good. And so I think she then went and blew up
ours.
Ours. Yeah. Yeah. Which is really, really helpful. So
not I think all hospitals provide the core ball themselves though. So I think it just depends on your hospital.
Yeah. But if you do bring it, just deflate it first. Like we had one at home that I'd been using while I was pregnant.
Or if you're really fun, you can like the husband just bounce in on it like through the hospital. Yeah. That'd be fun. The one like one with the handles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed you didn't think of that till just now?
Yeah, very disappointed.
I brought a Stanley. I didn't use it because they have a hospital version of the Stanley.
Yeah.
And it's pretty rickety. It's not great, but they will just keep bringing you just jugs of it. And so I just didn't want to like pour that into my Stanley. It was just like, what do I care? That Stanley's heavy.
But did you feel reassured knowing that your Stanley was there with you?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. So that's all hospital stuff. Also practice putting, know your car seat. And don't assume that the hospital will check to make sure that your car seat is properly installed. Ours did not. I've heard you can go to a fire station. Okay, so newborn, bringing home the baby. That first week of being home with the baby, things that were really helpful for us was we had a postpartum meal delivery service through our doula's company, which if you're local in San Diego, Breathe Bitch Doula. We cannot hype them up enough. Like that was our postpartum doula. That was our doula. And that they also had meals for us that were like catered to healing, internal postpartum healing.
Recovery. Yeah.
Yeah. But also you would eat it. So she made enough food for both of us and it was delicious. We ended up doing it for like
way longer than we intended.
Yeah. Like 3 weeks. We just ordered more cause it was so good. And it was just nice to have food there. And that's why like, you know, I know a lot of people do meal trains. I wasn't interested in a meal train partially because I'm such a picky eater. The idea of like having to tell people what I like at all these different restaurants just seemed overwhelming. We also had a friend like who was a really good cook. Like Alex cooked a bunch of frozen large portion meals for us and stuck it in our freezer. And then we just had to thaw it and cook it at some point in the first like 2 months. If friends want to help and you're not interested in a meal plan or a meal train, see if they'll cook something for you that you can freeze. Mm-hmm. Or we had a lot of friends who were so generous. They just like texted like, hey, can I bring you food sometime this week here? What are you in the mood for anything? And then I would say, you know, just something healthy, whatever. And then they would drop off food and without any expectation of like, they wanted to see the baby.
I think that was the awesome part was like, cause like when you're with your newborn in that first week, like even just being face to face with other humans is like this daunting task that like we didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And everyone was so great. They're like, hey, we'll just drop it off. No need to even answer the door.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't know that that was a thing or but even now, thought about it. Now, so I'm, now like, I'm like, oh yeah,
we should offer that.
Yeah.
Except for sure. Neither of us cook.
We'll hand deliver your DoorDash gift card to your mailbox.
Yeah. It was also really nice. Like our parents, if you were fortunate enough to have parents close by or parents that can come into town, the expectation was like, you take care of us and we'll take care of the baby. So having our parents cook and clean was like, okay, great. We don't have to think about feeding ourselves. We just have to literally figure out the baby.
I think that was something that you were adamant about. And we were like, we want to learn how to take care of the baby.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to lean on our parents really early about taking care of the baby, but we did need someone to take care of us. Yeah. So.
A couple products I think were so helpful in the first week or two with baby was there's this Freedom Mom postpartum kit that someone gifted me and it was the best thing ever. So when the hospital stuff kind of wears off, when you run out of that stuff, the Freedom Mom stuff kicks in. Like there were these like mesh shorts that kind of just expand and they fit all sorts of sizes because I don't know, it's made with voodoo material. I lived in those shorts for 3 weeks. And they're disposable. Then it came with all sorts of other goodies. So like the Freedom Mom postpartum kit, you must absolutely have that for when you come home from the hospital. We also got a bidet installed before I came home from the hospital.
Forgot about that.
Which we had a bidet, but it was like a
$20 bidet.
Yeah. But if you go for like the nicer one, the water is warm when it comes out. The pressure is not too harsh.
You can control the pressure too.
And so that was really helpful with postpartum stuff too. That was amazing. And it has a fan so it can dry and you don't have to use toilet paper. If you can spring it, go for the, I think, was that a Costco bidet?
It was Costco, yeah.
Yeah.
The brand of bidet that we bought was the Toto Washlet C5.
Also, we found out this bidet, when you sit down, first of all, the seat's warm. When you sit down, it like releases water. It coats the toilet. So when you're going number two, our bathroom no longer
never
stinks.
Smells. Yeah.
It is mind blowing. And then it sucks sucks air out when you're done. We don't even use air freshener anymore.
Yeah. It's wild.
The best. It's the best invention. Okay, another nursing bras. There are so many different nursing bras out there, and there's some that cost like $50. And they'll be like, this is the best. But I'm like, when you're nursing, you're getting breast milk everywhere. I wanted like five to 10 nursing bras. I didn't want just one $50 nursing bra, and I wasn't going to buy five that were $50. And I really, truly, I did buy one expensive one, and I do not think it was worth the price at all. Aside from just the cost and feeling like it's overpriced, what I found that really worked for me was not the nursing bras that like, they have snaps on the bra straps. So if you have a newborn with a floppy head and she's screaming and you go to like, you're trying to hold her, you're trying to unclip this clasp, pull it down, you get her into place, and then, you stop nursing her, she's pissed off, you gotta switch sides, you gotta clip this back on, then unclip while she's screaming. So this, I hated the clip nursing bra, not a fan. What I ended up loving were these like crisscross.
Applesauce?
No, it's like a crisscross flap in the front. It looks like a sports bra.
Crisscross flapplesauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks like a sports bra, but there's a cross, the strap, so it just is easy to just pull one side down, pull the other side down. And it is comfortable and soft. I got them from, it's the Target brand, like Auden. And I got a couple. I had like four, and you can sleep in them. That's my nursing bra recommendation, is don't get anything with a bra clasp, especially if you're sleeping in it. Pumping bras were really important, like holding the pump in place. It was a disaster. Honestly, a lot of times I would just pump with the little crisscross applesauce flappy sports bra and just
crisscross flapplesauce.
Sorry. Yeah. I would just try to pump with, you know, fit it in there if I could. Also, button up PJs were really great. Like, you can get so many cute ones on Amazon. That's what I did. It makes it easy to just nurse in the middle of the night. Feeding and dividing help between us, like figuring out what our system was going to be. The system that worked for us was like, you were in charge of putting her down for naps and waking her up and bringing her to me to try to breastfeed. And I was literally just in charge of breastfeeding, pumping, sleeping. Mm-hmm. You got really good. We thought you were the nap whisperer. Come to find out a few months later, no, newborns are just really easy. They sleep really easily.
Yeah.
Like, they fall asleep while you're nursing situation. But it was a good confidence.
I'm still a nap whisperer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was kind of
like, just understanding what my role is and wanting to do whatever I can to help you.
And also, we were fortunate that you were able to take paternity leave for 2 months.
Yep. Yeah. I was making sure the bottles were clean, making sure the kitchen was cleanish.
Yeah.
Dishes were done, laundry, all of those things, but
just making it so that like
you didn't have to think about anything else. Yep. But just feeding the baby.
Especially if you end up having to triple feed, which is just mind blowing. And take you're just feeding around the clock or pumping around the clock. It's your only job is breast milk all day, every day.
Yeah. Oh, also making sure all the breast pump parts are clean.
Yeah. And gosh.
We had a good system, though.
Bringing me the pump. Yep.
So, this is another pro tip. Oh, is that our pediatrician was like, you don't have to wash the breast pump parts every single time. If you take them and put them into a plastic bag.
She said, like, rinse it, put it in a plastic bag.
And put it in the fridge.
Yeah. Then just wash it at the end of the night.
Yeah. And so that saved a ton of time for us. The other piece was the breast pump is big. You have these tubes. You have the plastic pieces everywhere. I found a basket on Amazon that fit everything.
And it was silicone, so like if breast milk, it was easier to clean. Yeah, it wasn't super, cloth, not fabric.
Yeah, and it's not made for that, but I was just like, there's got to be something that holds this. And I think that actually like made my, you know, just from a organizational standpoint, made it really easy. Not mm-hmm. really easy, but made it much easier.
I got the LV mobile pump. I really wanted to love it, but it would take like twice as long to pump what the Spectra was pumping and not even get the same amount. Mm-hmm. And so my lactation consultant had said like the LV is really for people with a fast letdown. And if you don't have a fast letdown, it's just not going to be, it sounds like they have not really worked out all the kinks of the mobile pump, which is crazy because it's like $450. So they really have not mastered that technology yet. Mm-hmm. For baby's first like appointment or vaccine appointment, bring a bottle or nurse them immediately. Mm-hmm. But like that was helpful when she was crying from the shots. And also I didn't know at my first appointment they were going to take her jammies off and that she was just going to be sitting there in a diaper for the appointment. And they're like, do you have a blanket for her? And I'm like, what? I didn't, what do you mean? Do I have a blanket? I didn't know that, you know, it was, am I a bad parent?
Yeah.
So bring a blanket.
Bring a blanket. And they, yeah, she definitely like judged us a little bit. She's like, oh, you don't have a blanket? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
This was like day three.
Yeah. Didn't know we were supposed to bring a blanket. I thought you would give us a blanket.
Right. Baby products we loved in the beginning. I think first and foremost, we used the Snoo. Snoo is very expensive. It's $1,500 brand new, but you can rent it monthly, or they now sell certified, like pre-owned Snoo on their website. So
they run really good sales a few times a year. So
we got our Snoo for like $800.
Yeah.
And they sanitize it. Like, I think they replace the mattress.
They give you a new mattress. You wouldn't know that it was used.
The sacks are new. Yeah. That's the thing that
all the important swaddle. Pieces are new.
Right. All the stuff that touches the baby is brand new.
Yep.
So the Snoo, I don't know. She's a great sleeper. I think part of the reason we can credit is the Snoo.
It's a little
scary in the very beginning. So don't let the speed go too fast. That was terrifying for mom. would you use the Snoo again?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was. And the other thing is, like, you can resell it on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace for $400 or $500.
This one is a little controversial. Bottle Washer Pro.
Yeah.
Previously, Brezza made a bottle washer, but it only...
No, it's a sanitizer.
Yeah, so it sanitized, didn't actually wash. It wasn't capable of actually washing the bottles.
So you had to hand wash all the bottles, then you put them in and it sanitizes it.
And there's an argument that maybe you don't need to sanitize the bottles.
Every time.
Like if the baby doesn't have any immunity issues, like if it's not a preemie, like you probably don't need to sanitize the bottles. That might be overkill. Then right before we had her, they came out with a bottle washer pro that actually, it's like a 90-minute cycle and it washes and sanitizes and dries the bottles. It's incredible. It only does 4 bottles at a time, but that's all you really need. Like we probably run it twice a day, honestly.
Depending on the situation, you know, like because we weren't breastfeeding full time, we used it more.
Yeah.
Someone who's breastfeeding and then only doing bottles every now and then.
Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's, washing bottles every now and then fine. Is easy.
But when we're going through 6 bottles a day.
Yeah.
It was. And so like, it's hilarious. Like when you first bought it, I was like, man, this seems really expensive. Like, I don't know if we really need this. And then like within one day I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best investment ever.
I think that one is like 300.
Yeah.
But we could also, I wash pump parts in there.
Her pacifiers or whatever. Like, it's like, yeah, you can just throw whatever you want in there. You can
throw a lot of stuff in there. Yeah. And it's like, if you need bottles multiple times a day, you're not running the dishwasher multiple times a day either.
Right.
Another baby Brezza that we're obsessed with forever and ever. I think this is probably the best out of all the things we have.
I'd agree.
And it's the Baby Brezza formula maker.
Mm-hmm.
That one's like $200. And basically you load all your formula into it. It has a water tank and it dispenses depending on how many ounces you need. It mixes, dispenses, and warms the formula into the bottle.
It's a baby Keurig.
Literally is a baby Keurig.
It's amazing.
It's so worth it, especially in the beginning when like Quinn didn't have any neck control. I didn't want her to cry ever. So I would hold her. And it was really hard to make formula bottles. I couldn't make formula bottles with one hand. And so the Baby Brezza was just amazing.
Yeah. I think the other piece too is like these have good resale value. So it's like, yes, they're expensive. But when you're done, you probably can sell them on Facebook or wherever for 50% or something.
Or if you're going to have another kid, then you get like two kids uses out of it.
So yeah, the Baby Brezza stuff, I was definitely skeptical. And now I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, another kind of controversial one is our baby monitor.
It's controversial?
Yeah. So we use the Nanit, which allows us to view her on our phone.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't trust any baby monitor that's
connected to Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So I did all the research on this.
So the Nanit is very secure. Like you can't, they don't even let you use Wi-Fi on public SERPs systems. Like you have to have a private
private
Wi-Fi network.
Yeah. You have all these things that are not Wi-Fi, but you have to have a separate device for it. And I'm like, I don't want to have another thing that I have to carry around. So the fact that we can have it on our phones, it gives notifications. And then the other like big selling point for me was most cameras, to hear the sound, you have to have the app open. And Nanit was the only one that had pass-through audio.
Yeah.
So we can have our phones locked. My phone's in my pocket, but the audio can be turned on and we can still hear her even if we are not looking at the app. And I think that's the most valuable thing about that.
But also you can be like scrolling on your phone and the audio is in the background as well.
Right. Yeah. I think that's like super, super valuable as someone who's actively trying to wean himself off watching his baby on the camera.
But it also makes it like, okay, when, if one of us goes out and I want to check the baby monitor, I can, cause it's on my phone.
Yeah. And like when we travel, you know, it's super easy. You can just put it up. The head changes, like the head removes from the mount. And so you can like, we have two different mounts. So we bring one when we travel. I'm really happy with it. Yeah.
Another one that's kind of expensive, but there are generally always, there's always a sale. Like
we bought ours used on.
Oh yeah. And we bought our secondhand,
yeah,
but it was like brand new. Here's a tip. I think this was a super helpful tip for us, was get a space heater for the bathroom where you're going to be giving the baby a bath in those first few weeks and months. The first time we gave her a bath, you're not even really supposed to submerge them. You're not supposed to submerge them at all because they still have a stump from the umbilical cord. So we had her on the kitchen counter and we just gave her like a sponge bath and she was so cold. She screamed the whole time. It was awful for me. And then when we finally were able to move her to the bathroom where we had our little baby tub on the counter, we got a space heater and she loves baths now.
She cried for the first bath and that's it.
And it's so warm and cozy in there. Another one you may not agree with is a towel warmer. We bought one. Sean thought we needed to return it. I forgot to return it. Now we have it, but don't use it.
We've never even opened it.
Yeah. If you live somewhere cold, get a towel warmer and put their like PJs in it for the bath. Like that's what I had wanted, was so that her PJs would be warm when we transfer her, change her.
Yeah. I think the danger with baby stuff is there's solutions to problems that don't exist.
Okay.
And not to say that maybe there is a scenario that would work.
I wanted her to be cozy.
But she is cozy and she didn't need it. She obviously, we've never opened it and she's still fine.
Dad doesn't love you as much, Quinn. Here's something I would do very differently. Purchases in for that first few months. I bought way, way too many outfits that never got worn. I had so many onesies. I probably had 50 onesies from friends or ones I had bought, because I really just thought, I don't know why I thought she was going to go through 10 outfits a day. Number one, people scared me. People were like, they poop on everything. And I'm like, in those first few months, no, they don't. They don't poop that often at all.
And the poop stays in the diaper.
It stays in the diaper. Now she goes through more outfit changes. But in the very beginning, I really thought we were going to be changing her clothes multiple times a day. And the truth is, she's so floppy, you don't want to change her clothes ever. Sometimes she wore the same jammies 2 days in a row because it just was like, it wasn't dirty. It's hard to change her when they're just floppy.
Yeah. And just keeping her in jammies was the easiest.
Yeah. You
know, it's like they have the hands, they have the feet, keeps her warm.
They keep, like, it has the fold over mittens so she doesn't scratch her face. It has the fold over feet so she can still, when she does tummy time, her feet can be exposed so she can still feel things. Yeah. So I bought way too many outfits that she never wore. Her first 2 months, she was only in jammies. And we had a good mix of like, there are bamboo jammies that are so expensive. They're like $30 to $40 a pair, but they are the cutest patterns and they're very soft and they stretch. That's the thing. The bamboo jammies, we have a newborn from Little Sleepies. There was a newborn jammy set that I finally just retired a month ago when she was 4 months old.
Yeah.
It fit her, a newborn size in this bamboo jammy fit for 4 months because it stretches with them. It won't be a newborn size ever again. But that one was like, you get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Whereas her cotton PJs from Old Navy, she outgrows them very quickly. But I love the cotton Old Navy PJs for like after baths. It's nice having her in a looser jammy that instead of trying to squeeze her hand through bamboo, which is more fitted and snug. And her skin's like kind of damp. Basically, bamboo jammies are worth it because they do stretch and last you a lot longer. But it's also nice to have cotton ones that are loose. Oh, here's something I would do differently. Everyone also told me, don't buy any newborn size stuff. They don't need it. All the size charts out there are like, oh, 0 to 3 months is for 7 pounds and up. So I bought no newborn stuff and she was swimming. She couldn't fit in anything that was 0 to 3 in the very beginning.
Yeah, that was
for the first month.
So newborn is not zero, apparently.
Yeah. And it's a lie that it fits 7 pounds. Yeah, she's in it. But it's like her arms dangling, like so much material dangling off. Like yeah. She was swimming in it. That second day we got home from the hospital, I Instacarted Target jammies.
Yeah.
That were newborn size that actually fit. So if I could do it again, I would. I know everyone says don't waste your money on newborn jammies, and I completely disagree. I think you need some newborn jammies.
Because she's a newborn for so a month. Small,
and the size charts are just wrong.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Another kind of controversial one. We could do, I guess this whole episode could just be controversial baby purchases. The baby carrier. So there's a baby carrier. And if you don't know, a baby carrier is the thing, because it sounds like, oh, it's a car seat. To me, that's what a baby carrier mm-hmm. sounds like. It's a thing that you carry the baby in, like a basket. No, it's not. It's a thing that allows you to wear the baby on your chest.
Yep.
And there, I didn't even know about the controversy and the drama around Artie Pop.
I didn't either. I'm learning about this for the first time.
I just saw Art. Well, I don't know where I found Artie Pop. I just found a houndstooth baby carrier. And I was like, I want this. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. This is what I want. And it happened to be $400, which is expensive because there are plenty of baby carriers that are high quality, safe, tested, blah, 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 for $200 or maybe even less.
Yeah, I think like $50.
No, $50 is dangerous because really, it's so important that it's quality because they could fall out. Like snaps could break. Maybe a wrap. You can get a wrap for that much. Is the Artie Pop worth it? I say yes, because I wanted that pattern and no one else had that pattern and it is high quality. Do you need it? No, you absolutely do not need it because there are quality, cute baby carriers that are not that mm-hmm. expensive. But if you really want it, yeah, it's worth it. It isn't, thankfully, it isn't one of those things that's like, why was this $400? It feels very nice.
The other thing here is like the utility of something and how often you're using it. It's like, yes, it was $400, but I'm wearing it 3 times a day.
Yeah.
For 6 months.
Yeah.
And so if you do the math, like, yeah, okay, it's worth it. You know, so I thought it was ridiculously priced, but I wear it and it's like, oh, I really like it.
Yeah.
I have my own baby carrier that I really like too by Kalugo. It's hot pink.
Yeah. That one's good for the treadmill.
It's a sporty one.
It's more sporty. And so you sweat on it.
There's a lot more like points of customization.
I think it'd be good if you're a hiker.
Yeah.
Because it has like a little sunshade that pops out the top. It has a fanny pack attachment and it's more like mesh, like washable. Like this is one you're going to want to wash.
Yep. I thought we were insane for each buying our own carrier, but it actually worked out.
Yeah. There's a $700 Artie Pop. I think that's stupid. I think that's ridiculous. I don't see why. It's just the pattern. It's that particular pattern for whatever reason.
Well, so, thank you for not buying the $700 Artie Pop.
Insane. That insane. But I love my Artie Pop. I would recommend it, but you don't need to like, if it's going to break your bank, don't buy it. There are plenty of other baby carriers out there, but if you do want to splurge on it and you love a pattern or you want to put it on your baby registry, it is at least worth the money. Mm-hmm. It lives up to its hype. Another controversial baby item.
Wow, I didn't know that we had so many controversial items.
Well, moms are so opinionated. The wipe warmer.
Oh, I think it's great.
Yes. A lot of people argue, hey, if you get your baby used to warm wipes at home and you're out in public, and then now that you have cold wipes, they're going to freak out. They're going to cry. Don't spoil your baby with warm wipes. She doesn't care.
She does. I mean, and maybe we're just lucky that she doesn't care.
Cold wipes don't make her cry. Warm wipes don't make her not cry. But I do like the warm wipes. It just feels nice and cozy for her.
Mm-hmm. Nice and cozy on my hand.
And it has like a little light that turns on.
Yeah, we actually use the light a lot. So
it's motion sensored.
So speaking of warm, we did have a bottle warmer. We bought those. That's by Baby Brezza, but also it's not nearly as expensive because I think it's only like
50, 60 bucks.
Yeah.
I don't think you need it.
Unless your baby is rejecting cold formula, like you don't really need it. But I think it was our doulas who was like, you don't need to warm a bottle.
And if if they take it room temp, great.
Yeah.
Some babies might have tummy issues where it could be helpful.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think every situation calls for it. I wouldn't buy it again. And it's also really hard to clean. So we didn't use it that much. And also the Baby Brezza formula maker warms
it anyways. Warms it. Yeah.
But she has never, like we give her cold. If we take a formula bottle out in the field, we put an ice pack
out
on
the field.
It.
Out in real life.
Yeah, she'll drink it cold. She'll drink it room temp. She doesn't care. She's her mother's daughter. She'll drink anything. Okay. there are so many baby bouncers and swings out there. You're like, what do you actually need? Well, we bought every single one to find it, to see which one Quinn would like, right? So there is a baby Bjorn, and it's a little bouncer that our friends swore by. It's not motorized. Apparently, like, and babies can eventually, like, bounce themselves on it. Yeah. Quinn could not care less about this $200 baby Bjorn.
I'm just, like, in the grand scheme of things, of all the things that we've bought, it's shocking to me that that is $200.
Yes, agree.
Like, if I looked at it and you told me it was, like, $30, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I have no idea why it's $200.
Jess made a good point. She said, you're paying for all the testing and research for it to be safe.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
That has to be the only reason.
I guess just when there's all these other chairs that are moving, that are going up and down, that there's music, that are, like, you know, more expensive, but, like, not that much more.
Yeah.
It's like that thing is 200 and those are 300.
You really just don't know. Some babies love it and some babies don't. When she was a newborn, we couldn't put her in it.
Yeah.
So she didn't really get to use it for a few months.
And maybe now that she's bigger and older, maybe she will start to
try. And she gets so bored so easily.
Yes, you know, we do try it every month to see. Yeah.
So baby Bjorn wasn't for us. The swing that I ended up purchasing was the Maxi Cozy swing. Truthfully, I picked it because I thought it was the most aesthetic. Like, it has
which
great
is how
reviews.
You should always approach baby purchases.
Listen. There are so many different swings or bouncers that I was like, how do I decide? One mom swears by the Mamaroo. Another mom swears by the Maxi Cozy. So I was like, well, the Maxi Cozy looks the cutest in my house.
Yep.
And I think that one's only
200. I think it's 200. Yeah.
Yeah. Quinn liked it as a newborn a little bit. It just kind of swings back and forth. But as she got older, she got way too bored too quickly. So then we bought the Mamaroo, which is hilarious because I should have given the choice. I would have bought
the
Mamaroo. The Mamaroo is $270. Maxi Cozy is $200. And I wish I had got it from the beginning because I think it accomplishes, I think she would have liked it as a newborn and it also would have lasted her a little bit longer in her boredom.
Coming from the Maxi Cozy to the Mamaroo, you're just like, what?
Yeah.
This is.
So the Maxi Cozy only swings back and forth and it plays cute little lullabies. The Mamaroo has like five different bounce patterns, a couple different music things. It's Wi-Fi enabled, so you can hook in your own music. I haven't figured out how. And the crazy thing that it also does is you can hold your phone and it'll record or sense. So you hold your baby and your phone and you bounce her how you bounce your baby and it will repeat that pattern. It will learn how you bounce.
We've never done that.
Yeah, I know.
Why not?
I don't know. It's a lot of work. But I think it's really cool. It's a really cool feature.
Yeah.
I guess it also depends. Like, Quinn is a big bouncing girl, not a swing girl.
Yeah.
So she loves being bounced to sleep. And it just bounces in a bunch of different patterns. So she never gets bored. And then...
And then there's like music, but then one of the music tracks has a laughing baby.
I thought it was the creepiest thing at first.
Now yeah.
I love
and
it.
Now every time Quinn hears the laughing baby, she smiles and like starts laughing herself.
Yeah, I think it trained her how to laugh.
Kind of creepy, but
really cute.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. Babies hearing laughing babies makes them happy.
She's 5 months now and will not sit in the Mamaroo nearly as long as she would 2 months ago. She wants to like grab her toes and she wants to play with things. She wants to swat and put things in her mouth. And in the Mamaroo, it just bounces. So
like as she gets older,
I think she's outgrown it now. Yeah. But had we had it from the beginning, we would have gotten 5 good months out of it, mm-hmm. which I think is valuable. Mm-hmm. So between the baby Bjorn, the Maxi Cozy, and the Mamaroo is the winner for us.
Yep. 100%.
And my thinking, you know, I know we are at a place where we can just buy the thing, even if it's, we already bought a different version and we regret it. My thinking is always just like, well, we can sell it. And I don't want to just be miserable because I made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
If I have the means to buy something else and sell mm-hmm. the previous one to, you know, it's like such trial and error with every baby. Mm-hmm. Here, another thing I recommend is a breathalyzer because, so when breastfeeding, there's a bunch of different research about how much alcohol gets passed into your breast milk. And you can ask your pediatrician, you can do your own research. I highly recommend Emily Oster. I follow her Instagram. She's written books. I love her. She just analyzes data and reports on that. Basically, her point is that there is not enough alcohol that gets into breast milk to that is any more than like orange juice, for example. Point being with the breathalyzer, you know, you can do alcohol test strips, but that just says yes or no. Is the presence of alcohol in my breast milk? Yes or no? I like the breathalyzer because when I was breastfeeding, I just was like, yeah, if I am higher than a 0.04, I wasn't comfortable with breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So I think breathalyzer is more helpful than just the little test strips, just so you can monitor your BAC and decide like what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, because you're not actually testing the breast milk, but like you're saying, if I stay under a certain BAC,
yeah,
then I'm comfortable breastfeeding.
Right. And a lot of people ask me these questions. I get DMs like, how do you handle breastfeeding and drinking? I really want to have a glass of wine. I'm afraid to breastfeed. Have a glass of wine and breastfeed. That, no problem. If you're uncomfortable with it, breastfeed while having a glass of wine. That's like the safest, fastest way.
Your body can't get it into the milk, yeah. You know, and, but even then it's not.
Yeah. So I think having a breathalyzer, we love our breathalyzer. Obviously I use it in so many videos, but, what's my coupon code? Lauren15, LORYN 15 will get you 15% off a Backtrack, BACTRACK.com. Not sponsored.
But you get an affiliate.
I do get a commission. This is a good product that I recommend. You wouldn't think of, but a photo printer, a little mini photo printer. So Quinn's baby book, I was afraid like, oh, if I have to go print photos at CVS or something, I'm never going to do it. Yep. So I got this as a Christmas gift, is a little Canon photo printer. And so every month when I'm updating her baby book, I can print photos directly from my iPhone. It's just a really nice tool to have to immediately put photos of Quinn in her baby book.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Awesome. That's on my Amazon store too.
So I think one other thing that's not a product, but it's an app that has like changed our life is the Huckleberry app. And there are a few different apps that do this, but basically it's a tracking app where you're logging every nap, every feeding, every diaper, everything that you can possibly think of.
Like vitamin D drops, if you have to give them that.
The idea is you're feeding all this data into the app for 2 months.
Yep. So we did this religiously for 2 months. And it's not, you have to track a lot of this information anyway. Like you're supposed to be tracking.
Your doctor is going to ask you,
many diapers, like it's so helpful to keep track of her feeding, how long I was breastfeeding, which side.
Yep. Yeah. And so then you use it for 2 months. And then after 2 months, it like logs all that information and basically comes up with a sleep schedule.
It like for analyzes. Your baby. It uses AI to analyze.
Yep. It's an algorithm that suggests when your baby will be tired and when you should put them down. And we were sort of skeptical. And then like the more we stuck to it, the more it was like, you know, like, oh, the baby's going to fall asleep at 5:20 PM. And you're like, okay, whatever. And then you're rocking the baby. And then like 5:20 PM would hit and the baby's eyes would shut and she'd be asleep. You're like,
it's correct every time.
Yeah. Like it's insane how accurate it is.
Our personality types, we love tracking stuff. The more information, the better. And so if that's not overwhelming to you, if you're like, oh, that sounds miserable having to track all those things in the beginning, then this might not be for you. But it is now so beneficial that we did that and we still use it every day. It just is like, oh, okay, she woke up early from her nap. It tells you her wake window should be this long and that her next nap needs to be around this time. And it just makes it so that like when things don't go as planned, yeah, she's not having a nap every day at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m. She's not that consistent. Oh, okay. She napped shorter than she was supposed to. Well, this will be her next nap. She napped longer. Well, here's how we're going to squeeze. We know she wants 4 to 5 naps in her day before her bedtime. Here's how we're going to squeeze that in.
And it's constantly changing and updating. So it's like, you know, you're logging all of these things. And so it's adapting to what she's actually doing.
Right.
So it's incredible.
And it gives you tips like, hey, we think it's time for Quinn to start trying to drop a nap. That's how we were able to, you know, she was taking 6 naps, then she was taking 5 naps. Now somehow she's taking 4. Like,
and had we not had the app telling us,
I don't know what we would have done.
Yeah, I don't know.
No clue. Cause you can, they say like, you know, just listen to the baby's cues when they start getting tired, put them down for a nap. But I don't know, like, yes, we listen to her cues. And so sometimes she'll go down earlier than the app suggests. But for the most part, it is so helpful to just be like, she has her appropriate wake windows. She takes her naps. Like she sleeps 10 to 11 hours at night. Her naps sometimes are 30 minutes. Sometimes we can extend them to be an hour and a half. But Huckleberry is invaluable.
Yeah.
Like probably out of everything we use, that's probably the best invention that's made our life the most easiest.
Yeah. I mean, hey, maybe we got really, really lucky and Quinn would have slept like this anyways.
It takes the guesswork out though.
But yeah, there's no guesswork with it. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
And then it's also like, hey, if you're out, I don't know, it's like you're not set or beholden to a certain time if things don't go right. Mm-hmm. If you're out and you don't get her nap in time, it adjusts the next nap. We don't feel chained to a particular schedule. It's more windows, mm-hmm. ranges. I guess wrapping up just the newborn stage, one thing I would do differently for that first month would be to take her on walks more and get her more used to her car seat and her stroller. Mm-hmm. We had heard, you know, oh, babies love napping in the car or napping in their stroller on walks, and Quinn does not like any of that. So I think part of that is we'd never drove anywhere except to doctor's appointments and lactation consultants in the first 2 months. So she really didn't get used to her car seat. And then I didn't want to go on walks, honestly, because I didn't want to talk to anyone in the neighborhood. And we have neighbors that are so friendly. I was so afraid people touching Quinn's face when she was a newborn that I just didn't want to leave the house at all. And now I kind of regret that. I wish maybe had we gone on more stroller walks, she would be a stroller napper. Mm-hmm. But she like hates napping in the stroller. And if she's in the stroller too long, she cries and she has meltdowns. Mm-hmm. So that would be one thing that would just get her used to those things in the beginning.
The more you can get babies out into public and normal life, the easier it is for them. You know, it's like the earlier you can introduce any of these things. So,
but it's tough when they're a newborn and they don't. But the walks is one thing of like, hey, this isn't public.
Right. It's not dangerous.
Yeah. This is like a safer thing. I wish maybe we had done that more. One that nice thing about our stroller. So I wish we had gotten a bassinet attachment. A lot of strollers, they come with you can get a car seat, a stroller seat, and a bassinet attachment. That's like the travel system. Or you can just get the stroller with the stroller seat and swap in the car seat. You know, that's what we did. We picked the car seat that we wanted because it was really light. And then the stroller system that we wanted. And
because it had rose gold.
Because it had rose gold. I wish I had opted for the bassinet addition because in the beginning, taking her on walks in the car seat, like they're not supposed to be in the car seat that long, and she doesn't fit the stroller seat yet until she can sit up. So I feel like the bassinet is so helpful for those first few months when they can't sit up yet, but you want to go on walks and you don't want them in their car seat on your stroller. But thankfully the stroller we did pick, it does almost lay flat. So
same idea.
Basically at two months or so, we were able to stop using the car seat attachment and use the stroller seat because it reclined really far. So that was one nice thing about the stroller that we chose, because a lot of strollers do not lay flat. I still love our stroller though. I wouldn't not recommend it. Speaking of strollers, we did just get the Duna stroller because we're traveling with Quinn and we had heard it would just be good for airplane because it's a car seat that also becomes a stroller.
Yeah.
I don't know who uses this as their main stroller. Who? We tried to take her for a walk in it just to get her used to sitting in it. She hated it. It's not smooth. The wheels are smaller than our main stroller. It hits every bump.
Yeah, I think it's not meant to be a main stroller.
So I'm like, the only people that buy the Duna, it's their second stroller?
Yeah, I think so. It's like, all right, you're in the airport, you're on vacation, whatever. But so I can see the value because it's like, it is significantly smaller than bringing a stroller and
a car seat.
A car seat.
Because it collapses down to just the size of a car seat.
Right. So like that is a huge win from that perspective. It opens and closes really easily. It, you know, condenses down. So that system is really good. But yeah, as a stroller, like, oh, this compared to our other stroller, this kind of sucks.
And it's like $600, $650 or $550 for the amount we paid for it. I was expecting it to be nicer, but I guess it's a car seat on wheels. It can only do so much. Yeah,
the car seat portion is good. It's just the wheels themselves, which it's
feels like pushing around a little children's shopping cart.
Yeah.
I guess we'll report back and see how it did while we were traveling.
Mm-hmm. And if we hate it, we'll sell it.
Oh boy. I really had so much more. I feel like we only made it through like month two of her life and we have three more months to talk through. Whew. Well, I hope that was helpful or interesting. And if you have any suggestions, other things that you think parents should try or know about, or opinions on what we did, compare your notes, please leave a comment or a message, send us a message. And
what do we need for months 6 through 12?
Yeah. Because I'm, you know, when I was building my baby registry, I was very aware that I only wanted to research up to like 3 months. I was like, I can't research every product for all of the first year of her life. I just can't do it. I'm going to end up buying so many things that I'm not going to remember that I bought, or change my mind. I'm going to change my mind.
And I think like you need to experience your baby for 3 months before you can decide what they'll need or want moving forward.
So I'm glad I did it that way. Like I really didn't register for, I just got her through honestly the first couple months. And then now I'm like, okay, what do I need? She's going to start solids. What do I need? So,
Now we're crowdsourcing through our podcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Maybe after a few more months, we will do a recap of the last few months of suggestions. You know what we didn't say this episode was how tired we are.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not that tired right now.
I'm pretty tired.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are Cup Out.